Hey, motherfuckers, this is Ronnie.
This is Nick from Turbocharged.
And you're listening to Metal Brain Fart Radio. Something.
Warning, this program is not suitable for underage listeners. Because two idiots decided to use continuously explicit language. That being said, dear parents, lock your children outside the room that you are listening to our lovely show and enjoy our stupidity. Also, in every episode we're gonna try to improve our sound quality and stupidity. That's been said, enjoy. Stay tuned or be doomed.
Welcome to Metal Brainfall.
Hey, and welcome with another episode of Metal Brain Fart. With me, Daru Metal, and my friend on the other line, Brute Thunderhead. How's it going, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right. I'm standing here in my impromptu studio at the moment. I'm visiting my parents, and unfortunately, I forgot my portable microphone, so I'm going to do it a little bit of a low quality this time, but I'm fine with it, and yeah,
I get it, man. And I also want to tell something to our dear listeners. Probably you guys can hear a little bit improvement of my end, because I bought a little bit better microphone and also a better sound card, so hopefully nowadays the sound quality is going to be better, at least in my end. So yeah,
for this one is going to be good on your end and a little bit bad on my end, but that's at least good to know in the future that we'll both have, you know, pristine sounding sound signals, because it's always a little bit hard with that shit. But that's cool.
Yeah, man, and actually, I didn't bought a sound card. I bought directly a mixer that have opportunity to be connected to computer and became like a sound card. So it's great.
Oh, really? I mean, sound card and a mixer. I mean, the difference isn't. A sound card is especially designed to be used on a computer. A mixer is I don't know. I mean, mixers these days are like compatible with, they have all USB and stuff, right?
Most of the new models.
The new models. I mean, an old mixer has like only like, you know, the standard audio cables, I suppose, but a little bit different nowadays.
Yeah, since we are living in a digital world, it's normal. So yeah, that was the news for now. We have some other news that we're gonna set to end of the show, so you guys need to keep listening our bullshit,
yeah, to find out about the cool news. So should we get on with the show then, doing our picks of the week, I guess, as we usually do?
Yeah, sure.
And do you have something that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, actually, last weekend, when we was on Dark, when I released the bonus episode or the interview with Speeder, I was so drunk, and also we have some problems. We didn't have a time to record. So I was so drunk, and in the morning I get a message from I Hate, and he saw to me Matt Butcher, Matt O'Meat, and eat the rat. But and after that, I was like, oh, okay, Matt Butcher, I like the band. I didn't say it for the first time in our show. And I was like, oh, Matt Butcher. And I remember the new Destruction have like a figurine of Matt Butcher that is basically abused. So I was like, okay, maybe Destruction is released. So it wasn't released still, but I pre-ordered my copy of Destruction Diabolical with this abused and also LP. So basically I'm going to get the CD version and vinyl. And today, that is Sunday, 10th of April, when we record the show, I listened the album two times. And I can say, man, definitely it's way better than Born to Perish. And I can compare it to the Under Attack from the new Era of Destruction. So I really enjoyed the album. It's a really, really nice album. So if you're a thrash fan, don't expect 80s Destruction. Better to say expected the new era after Schmier return in the band. So a sort of Under Attack, like I said. And what was man, I'm still with Hangover.
Devolution. I'm sorry. What is your pick of the week? I'm not really following here. It's, you know, you mentioned Matt Butcher and Destruction, and I'm like.
So my pick of the week is Destruction Diabolical.
All right.
I mentioned Matt Butcher because thanks to this series, I remember to pre-order the new album. And I hear it today on YouTube two times, so it's really good, man. Schmier done very good job with this one, but the only odd thing in is the cover, because the cover of Diabolico is look like a pizza trash, a sort of municipal waste, something like this. It's not with a cracked brain or a Matt Butcher in the front.
I'm gonna have to check that one out. Let's see.
Yeah. and also he used his typical
Oh, dude, that cover is super fucking ugly. Yeah, I just got it up here on a fucking full spread on my computer here.
It's not a typical Destruction cover, like I said. It's more like a municipal waste or something like this.
But here's the thing. Did you say that the Matt Butcher wasn't featured on this cover? Did you say that?
No, it's not featuring on the cover, but have a figurine, a statue of Matt Butcher if you pre-order like a special edition.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm looking at a high res of this cover, and the Mad Butcher is actually in the background among the zombies.
Really?
On the cover, it's underneath the chopped arm of the zombie in the front. You can see the Mad Butcher with his
probably because
meat cleaving knife.
Probably I didn't saw it because I was watching. On the my phone, so
yeah. Well, I mean, if you see like a small PNG on like
you
don't see it, because yeah. I see now, you know, when I look at the, you know, when I get into the Metal Archives page, you can't see it, but if you like, you know,
no, he's the leader of the zombies, and also the T-shirt of the zombies with the cracked brain and the patches of destruction. So yeah.
Yeah, the it's details are.
But it's not like the main character of this cover.
Yeah, it's kind of in the background.
Yeah, and I'm gonna show you this statue that I order the album that came up with. So what's your pick of the week, man?
All right, cool. For my pick of the week, I've once again been down in the darkness of that is black metal, and I've found something a little bit, I wouldn't say obscure, because it is probably not that obscure, honestly, but I found a band that was around in and around the same time as Dissection, and kind of sounds like a very Dissection-esque band, and it's the band Sacramentum and their first album Far Away from the Sun. And like I mentioned, it's very similar style to that of Dissection from the era of Storm on the Light's Bane. I actually think that this album actually came out like 1 year after Storm on the Light's Bane, which was the last record that Dissection put out before John decided to do some shenanigans and get put away in jail for 20 years. So yeah, it's interesting. It's sort of like a continuation on that same sound, which I really very much enjoy. And yeah, that's really all I have to say. Far Away from the Sun with Sacramentum. That's my pick.
I send you the link to this figurine of Matt Butcher. And actually, I know Sacramentum just as a name, never checked them out. So yeah, if you say they sound like Dissection, probably I'm going to give it a try. Cause, yeah. It's not, Dissection is not bad band. I really enjoy it, and especially the last album, what was Rain Chaos, for me it's a really nice album.
I actually I listened to that album the first time ever in its entirety in and around my birthday, I think, at the end of March. That was the first time I actually sat down and listened to it, and it's okay. I'll be nice on that one and say that it's totally fine, not a bad album at all. It's more or less like a new wave of British heavy metal album with like death metal growls and a little bit of like black metal into it, I guess, in some way.
And probably that's why I enjoy this album so much.
Yeah, well, I see the appeal of it. I definitely do. It's not really in the same class as the previous two records that they did. It's very much a departure, I would say, in one way, but in another way, I mean, they've always been like a melody driven band and have always had like great melodies, and this album Rain Chaos, that it has fantastic melodies, and I would say that it's definitely not a bad record, but it is not my favorite
A lot of people actually hate this record, but yeah. Like I said, I start to listen Dissection exactly with this one, but nowadays it's normal everyone to hate everyone. See, before Nergal became sick with leukemia, everyone liked Behemoth. After he avoided the death and he changed his life for a good or bad. He don't do any good music, blah 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 bullshit. I mean, yeah, probably it's not it's not this raw black metal. It's more melodic now, and but that's also with the Satyricon and Dark Throne, for example. And I enjoyed the new one and the old albums. It's not a huge difference, like, for example, Metallica, when they done In the Air Is Trash and the United States, they became Countryalica. Did I enjoy Metallica's latest album? Yeah, I enjoyed, but it's not my favorite and never will be.
No, exactly. And that's sort of my point of contention. But, you know, black metal fans are a little bit of a different breed. I mean, when you change your sound ever the slightest, you know, in one direction or another, you are going to have pissed off people pretty easily. I think it's way easier to piss off people who are into black metal than it is to like piss off, I don't know. Maybe Metallica fans in this case. I don't know. There probably are a lot of Metallica fans that like the change that it did to the country western style. I don't know. Maybe. I don't understand that point of view, but I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
I don't have any fucking idea, man. But like I said, nowadays it's you have so much improve on the sound quality and everything. Even you can record, if you know what to do, you can record the album by yourself, like Hell Reaper, for example. And you can produce almost at the same level that is the huge produce company, if you are smart with and know what you are doing. Because it's not like at the 80s to record. You remember this meme with... the children record player, and it was like this is how black metal was supposed to sound, or something like this shit.
Yeah, I've probably seen that once or twice. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that the reason for the sound quality was basically to be more. I mean, what it all stems from historically is that a lot of people who were into black metal in the early days in Norway and Sweden. They kind of hated, you know, the production that was made in like Mori Sound Studio in Florida that produced a lot of these death metal things in America. And that was sort of a response to that, because they really hated like that clean sound that Morrison produced with their death metal things. So I guess. But yeah, we're not going to go too deep into metal history today. That wasn't what today's subject was about, but that is basically it, I guess.
Yeah, but subject is way hard to say, because like we said, we are a little bit loose of topic now. We are not doing strictly to a topic. We are speaking on metal, so it's not a problem to continue with this, and after that we can speak about what I...
I think it's too much of a rabbit hole. You don't want to hear like an autistic guy talk about heavy metal history for 2.5 hours. And besides, I'm not really feeling up to it today to do that. But eventually in the future, I might do something like a special episode or whatever, where I just can like go out and talk about these things. But yeah, I would rather.
Yeah, since now you're... reading what was Bloodfire Death, I think you're reading.
Yeah, the Swedish book about the Swedish metal history. So I'm more than halfway done on that book. I actually left it at home. It's my toilet reading, by the way. but it's very good for a toilet reading, because you know when you're on the toilet, you don't want to sit for too long when you take a shit. So it has these good. How should I say, there's good sections in the book where it's easy to, you know, put a bookmark in and continue where it left off and whatever. So, and it's also a very fun read. So there's obviously a lot of shit you already know, but there's also a little bit of things that I did not know. There was, for instance, a very short segment on like the thrash scene in Sweden, which was probably the shortest lived scene in Sweden. I think it was like thrash basically came here, two bands did it, and then like death metal became a thing, so no one was really not into thrash anymore. There's there's a segment in this book, I might say, you know, Nicky Andersson from Entombed and later he would do the helicopters thing. He said that back in those days, like in 87, 88, if you were still playing thrash at that point and not death metal, you were like a fucking dinosaur or something. Not true as well. I mean, that was a thing he said. Like, if you were playing thrash in 88, you were basically not a true metalhead, because true metalheads in Stockholm would play like death metal.
I was reading in Swedish death metal book, and they like to listen to the thrash, but what was Elge is, I don't remember exactly to quote it, but it was something like why we are asking like 19-year-old Elge Petrov why he's playing death metal, and he answered us because thrash is death.
And
and when I met him for like first or second time, I asked him, hey man, you have a nice vest with a huge trash a lot of trash patches, but I thought you didn't like trash. Who say that? And I said,
I read
on the book about that, and you said, no, I mean, we didn't like to play, but we like to listen. So yeah.
Yeah. So that was the difference then. That it's not about listening to it; it's about playing it.
Yeah. And honestly, before I moved in Sweden, I didn't know a single thrash metal band from Sweden. Mostly, it was heavy metal and death metal that I know, and yeah, one or two black metal bands, that was, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a couple of thrash metal bands, but those are like mostly new kind of things that came in the later ages. But you know, if we talk back in the day, there was like, you know, Ice Age, definitely. And there was like another, man, here's the thing, Ice Age is the only one I remember. I remember two. There were two other names mentioned in the book.
I think Hypnos was another one.
Which one did you say?
Hypnos. Hypnos or Hypnosia or something like this. I'm not sure about it.
Or, I mean, I think the thing was as well is that, you know, when thrash started and, you know, the short-lived thrash period in Sweden, what happened would that, I mean, I think a lot of, like, the bands that did become death metal bands probably started as thrash bands, but then they saw this new thing coming from America and from Europe as well, you know, the more extreme things. And then I think people like started, directly shifting their sound. I think that was the case for a lot of bands. I'm not entirely sure, but definitely that was the case here, I think.
Yeah, and definitely I can say, for example, what I was saying, man, is like the thrash metal bands for Sweden is like death metal for Germany. You don't know so much band, especially back in the days.
Yeah, it was like a short-lived scene back in the day, so to speak. But I mean, there are probably a lot more thrash bands in the more modern era, I would say. But you know, I'm not too qualified to talk about thrash. That's not really my cup of tea. But you know, from what I gathered from the book, at least, it was, you know, basically like three bands which basically disappeared as fast as they came, pretty much like, you know, the popularity of thrash metal in Sweden, because, you know,
yeah, definitely.
It shifted very fast, you know, the popular genres and whatever during the 80s. So,
yeah, I'm totally agree with this. Well, should we go to our topic?
Yeah, well, we've been going for 23 minutes, so I guess it's time. And how should we describe this topic? Can you give us a bit of an introduction, maybe?
Is it worth it?
Yeah, is it worth it? And what do we mean by that?
I mean, is it worth it, man, to live this life sometime? I mean, to collect all the CDs, to collect some rare posters and spend like a bag of money for like just one plectrum? Something like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a deeply philosophical question, almost. It's sort of like asking the question, like, what's the meaning with living? Or, what's my purpose, you know, those existential questions in a way. Is it worth it?
Yeah, because for example, if you're a single and tomorrow you die, what's going to happen? Someone going to clean the apartment and probably going to throw all your vinyl collection in the garbage, and some of them is like a couple of thousand euros, and that's why I was like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, well, this is kind of funny. We have sort of like the perfect panel for this, you and I, because you are probably have a way, way bigger collection than I have when it comes to like merchandise, records, and probably concerts you've been to. For me, it's sort of like, the reason why I don't have as much stuff as any other person who's into this kind of music is probably because of how my life has been the previous years, because I've moved around a lot.
Yeah.
And that basically means, I mean, either it is you have like tons of boxes standing at one of your parents' house with your records and your merch and your posters and whatever, or you bring all that shit along. And mostly I try to bring all of my stuff along wherever I go. But the thing is, it's heavy. And you know,
yeah, no, man.
At the end, I sort of came to a conclusion that, okay, you know, I like CDs and everything, but they're a fucking pain to, you know, store and to carry along when you move out. So, I mean, I've gradually been downsizing my collections. I still do have a lot of CDs still. I must have at least 200 CDs in my possessions, and probably in and around 50 vinyl records. And even that is kind of crazy to go around with, I would say. But it's way different for someone else, I guess. But okay, my point is at least that since I move a lot and I don't really know if I'm going to stay in one place for a longer time, I don't really see too much of a reason to have a huge collection. I don't really desire it because, you know, any day, you know, 1 year you could be in one place and the next year you can be in a completely different place. So
tell me about it, man, because I moved like for 10 years, I moved like 9 or 10 times. So I totally get it.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that you have always carried your shit wherever you go. I remember the time when you move into, there was a little bit of a scheduling problem. I was supposed to move out the day before you would come to my place. But scheduling issues made it so that we had to like move in. You had to move in. I was still in my apartment the day you came in, so... But it was kind of amazing to see all the fucking shit that you had. And most of it was like, I mean, there was a little bit of furniture and all that stuff. But also, there was like a ton of fucking metal merch and shit. I mean, I was pretty amazed. I was like, man, my lonesome little box I have with records is like nothing compared to this shit that I'm carrying.
So, yeah, man, that's why I, when I... send you a topic what I think about this. I was like, again, buying some merch. I think I bought a t-shirt or something, and I was like, okay, man, tomorrow probably I'm gonna die. Who gonna inherit that? And even if you are not alone, even if you have a kid, this kid gonna listen to metal? Probably he gonna grow up and listen to a rap or a disco, I don't know. And he gonna sell your merch. For example, you bought a vinyl like the Yellow Goat of a Battery for 20,000 euro, and he gonna sell it for 10 euro.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably the case for a lot of people. I mean, it really depends on what kind of relationship you have with a family. But okay, let's play with the thought that you get yourself a wife and you get kids. Yeah, I mean, That is probably the case for a lot of people. I mean, it really, maybe they will love the shit that you have and love music and, you know, heavy metal, whatever. Or they might not, you know, there's like a...
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And I mean, there might be a situation where, you know, your kid inherits your entire fucking collection. And he's like, thanks, Dad, for like collecting this awesome collection of records. But maybe it could be like, oh, geez, I got to sell off this shit. Or maybe he is a huge metalhead, but, you know, in the future, physical media has become so fucking obsolete that, you know, he's like, ah, I love metal, but, you know, all these fucking boxes and boxes and boxes of CDs, I might sell them.
Or throw them in the garbage.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that might be... That's a dark future I don't want to think about because, you know, physical media being that obsolete, that would be sad.
I mean,
it might come, unfortunately.
I think in our society, metalheads who appreciate the music and etc., we always gonna collect a physical media in some way because even when I was the pirate that downloaded every fucking band that I can get, even then, when I have money, I try to support the bands and buying their physical media, like CD and cassette most of the time, because I didn't have a record player and I didn't bought so much vinyls. I started to collect vinyls before like 6 years, something like this, when I changed my job to a little bit more steady job that I am now, and I have a place to stay, because like before I told you, I was living first when I moved, I was homeless and live in the tent, and after that I was at the office of the car washing that I used to work.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. But here's another thing I've been thinking about. I mean, records and merchandise and all that stuff, I mean, they can be seen as an investment too. Because I'm not going to lie, I've been in some like financial dire straits here and there in my life.
Everyone has been.
Yeah, of course. And I've been thankful, but, you know, there was like one time when I was going to move away from Stockholm, I decided to go through my record collection and see, you know, because taste changes, you know, over the years. You know, a band that you liked when you were a kid, obviously you might even fucking hate that band now. So I just went through and see what I had, and I checked out the value, you know, the Discogs value and all the CDs that I had that I wanted to get rid of, and I actually got a decent buck off some of these records that I got rid of, actually. So, I mean, I had like two Slayer records, I think, like Show No Mercy and Raining Blood. And as you know about me, for those who have listened for a longer time, I'm not a particularly huge Slayer fan anymore, so I got rid of those. And I mean, even though there were CDs that I back in the day bought for not too much money, I actually got a decent payment for those. So I'm pretty happy in that case.
Yeah. And also, for example, I have some vinyls that the last time has been sold for 1,100 euro. I'm not gonna say the name of the band. I'm gonna say just the name of the album. Sorry, guys. I'm gonna keep it in secret, this album.
All right, so. Mysterious. But you got what did you say that you got 1,100 euros for it?
No, I didn't sell it.
You haven't sold it. Okay, you have it in your possession.
I got it for free, and directly from the band.
Well, I mean, in that case, it's fine. I mean, if you got it free from like another friend of yours, he might have been like, shit, why did I give that away?
Yeah, the thing
or
is...
Or maybe he didn't know the value of it or whatever.
No, he know pretty much the value. He told me the value.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, first, they was like, ah, nah, man, come on, it's too expensive. And after that, we have some party, and they was here for a little bit. And yeah, sure, fuck it, take it.
Well, I mean, if you get a little bit liquored up, you're always like willing to take gifts and stuff, you know. At that
stage.
Yeah,
but for example, I also have a lot of CDs that that I never played, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to my life. Like I mentioned, that big old box I have back home.
I mean, I if I like the band that I hear at Club Frax Mango, I just buy the CD and. Probably from all that small metal bands that I saw them, I play like one or two bands that have a CD, and I have at least 50 CDs and minimum 20 vinyls from all the band that I saw.
You buy them and then you let them rot on the shelf.
Yeah, let them collect dust, man. That's why I was like, is it worth it? But
yeah,
because,
I mean,
because buying a CD, especially for the huge bands that have a label behind as Nuclear Blast or Napalm or whatever, you are not supporting so much the band. You are supporting mostly the label. You are supporting the band buying their tickets for the show.
I mean, unless you're not buying something from a band that is on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
But even in that case, there are actually labels on Bandcamp that put out material from other bands, but they own the rights to the particular album, you know. So, I mean, I guess Bandcamp has, you know, that's kind of annoying actually to see. But the bigger labels, I don't think they usually do it, but I have seen, like, strangely enough, like Running Wild being up on Bandcamp, and which I find weird because Running Wild is, you know, I think big bands shouldn't be on Bandcamp. I think Bandcamp should be like for, you know, sort of like the working man's place to sell music and not for some like multi-million dollar label to sell the things that he owned the rights to. I think it's wrong, but I mean, I'm not gonna get too political here on this podcast, but it sort of grinds my gears.
Yeah,
we have been we're almost up at 40 minutes. Should we go for a little break? Maybe.
Yeah, man, let's take a break. And do you have something to play?
I got nothing actually, and I have written several emails actually a couple of weeks ago to a bunch of bands which I've enjoyed, but I have yet to receive answers from them. So
okay,
I have nothing, unfortunately.
I'm going. If you hear the music, probably I find something to play. If not, well, not this week. All right, let's take a break, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank Svelte Winter for allow us to play one of their songs, and this is Svelte Winter with Varg Winter. We'll be right back.
I'm Marcus.
Jimmy.
Jonathan.
And I'm Tim from Methane. And you're listening to
Metal Brain Force.
And we are back with some food for thoughts.
Yeah, we're tackling the big think issues here. The big philosophical questions of a metalhead. Is it worth it? And yeah, maybe. I don't know. Are concerts worth it? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes probably not, because I've been in so much gigs that have so shitty band. And yeah, sometimes doesn't worth it.
In one way, I think concerts can be a little bit better than the physical media in one way, because it's an experience. And experiences are sort of, you know, you have a one-time fee for an experience you only get to, you know, experience once in a week. And then it sort of goes away. And I mean, I guess it could be like I guess for some other people it can feel like a very invaluable, non-necessary investment, I guess. But I sort of kind of like doing experience, you know. I like going to other countries and stuff. And I mean, seeing a band is kind of the same thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, probably I'm very bad with the traveling because I didn't travel so much. But even then, I'm going to be like, okay, it's just another building to see. Yeah, it's a good architecture and whatever, but yeah, it's not like to be on the concert.
Now, a concert can be... it can be very interesting. It really depends. I mean, is it worth it? It's sort of a question you should ask Joey DeMaio when he announces a new tour for Manowar. That is really the time when you should ask that question. And I did ask myself that question. I think we had this discussion probably 7 million times, but it's always worth to bring up the ridiculous fucking concert prices that band set up.
But even that, man, for example, a small local band with a very accessible ticket, there is people who, okay, there is people like me back in the days, or sometimes even now, I don't have money to see all the concert that is around the area that I live, in that case, Stockholm, but even before in Bulgaria. So... if I have a connection with a promoter or with the band, yeah, I ask them for like guest. But always when I have an opportunity to support the band, I try to do that, because they're working their asses after work. They're spending money for equipment and to hire a room. Even if they don't hire a place. But again, equipment to buy and also all that time that they invested for the band, for practice after the work that they have. For example, if you're a construction worker, all day you're moving bricks and whatever, and you're like totally fucked up at the end of the day. And oh man, I need to spend like 2 more hours with... practicing now with band, so
I know that I know that feeling. Definitely, I can relate.
Yeah, and that's why I said it's good to support the band, and especially the small vocal bands, because, like I said, I saw very shitty bands. I'm not gonna hide that and say I have every time great experience. No, I saw a lot of shitty bands. Believe me. But also, sometimes I hear the bands that became like my, not favorite band, but the band that I continually listen to, for example, Kvaen, for example, Wolfcross. I hear that band thanks to a small venue, to a small gig.
Yeah, I mean, with small venues, it's a little bit of a different story. I would say it's worth it to go and see those. It's like you introduced here in your sort of thing that you said that, you know, they basically don't get any pay for this. It's basically they're working for free and they have works beside of it. So, I mean, I remember like playing myself, you know, doing live shows and whatever, you know, it was like so much work for literally nothing. And I mean, the only payment, I mean, the only fun thing was at the end of the day was to go up there and play for an audience, which, I mean, okay, you know, it shifted in sizes. But I think when I played in Starlight, for instance, we actually had a decent fan base. I think you went to pretty much every one of those concerts, if I don't misremember. Pretty much.
Probably I didn't went to 3-4 gigs, but most of the time I was there.
Yeah, you were pretty dedicated, and there. I mean, but that was the fun thing. There was always like someone who had been at the first concert or the previous concert or whatever, you know. So you always had like some people tagging along, and that's very. I mean, I guess for a band that playing on that level that we did, I mean, it's very thankful to have, like, you know, a couple of buddies coming out and checking out your gig.
But even then, man, for example, yesterday, it was Saturday, there was at Club Frax Mangel a band from UK. They made their own tour in Human Creature. Let me check again. In Human Nature, not Creature. In Human Nature, they're from UK, and they made their own tour. So basically, they rent a van and go for 10 days or something like this around Europe. And what they tell me, at one of the dates that they play in some festival, do you know where they slept?
Probably in their cars or something.
No, on the fucking floor.
Well, there you go. I mean, the floor is better than sleeping in a car, though, I would argue.
Depends, man.
Yeah, depends. I mean, I would always take the floor anyway. I mean, a floor of a house or whatever, definitely. Because the car, I mean, if it's really hot outside, it's a pain. If it's really cold outside, it's a pain, so the car is not too reliable all year around, I would say.
I don't know, man. When I have my car, because, like you know, I have like two cars. Both of them was Ford Mondeo Combi. And a lot of time when I go to a gig, I slept in the car and I was pretty okay. I mean, I take down the back seat and it's like a king-size bed almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess that's a factor to counter in too, is the size of the car. But I don't know, sleeping on the floor, I mean, unless those guys didn't get a mattress or whatever, that would be pretty shit, I guess, I don't know.
No, no mattress, they slept on the venue, basically.
At the okay. Venue.
And one of the guys said, hey, man, we have like two chairs, combined and one couch, something like this. And when you are playing with the band and you have this condition, you start to ask yourself, when you are collecting, is it worth it? And again, probably it's worth it, because when you start the band, you started mostly to play for fun. And you don't expect anything. Because if you try to expect something to become like Metallica or Slipknot or Rammstein or some of those big bands, 99% of the time it's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that is something true you're pushing on there, because, you know, I've always been very clear on it. Even when I was like a young kid and wanted to be, you know, a rock star more than I want now, I actually sort of already knew that, okay, you know, you're going to, I mean, it's not going to be easy. You're not going to release an album and then have, you know, everything served to you. It's going to be like playing the small venues, you know, until you, I mean, either break it or don't. So, I mean, yeah, I would say, I mean, you do it for fun. That is really, that should be the main goal, I think. But I mean, I guess there are musicians out there that want to be big, and some succeeds in that regard, but others, you know, don't reach the top and get sort of disappointed and, I don't know, fall into
drug use or whatever. Big bands like Metallica back in the days, they also suffered. They slept in almost a totally trashed place. For example, Dave Mustaine, when he created Megadeth, at one point he said on the interview, "I was homeless and I was slept on the fucking rehearsal room."
Yeah, I mean, that was, I guess that era was a little bit different though, because back in those days, they sort of believed in this like rock star thing. They sort of believed that you have to sleep in the streets and play gigs.
They just, that's the thing with all that old school rock stars like Motley Crue, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax, all that big bands.
But look, with the Metallica guys, they obviously lived in those shitty conditions because they wanted to make it big. Because there was like nothing really, you know, if you know what I'm saying, there was nothing that, you know, hindered them from going back to, you know, back home to, you know, cut their hair and do a regular, you know, 9-to-5 job. There was nothing stopping them from doing that. But they did that because obviously they loved it. But I think they actually wanted to be famous. I have no doubt, especially not, I mean, with Metallica in special regard, I think.
Probably just the Danish boy think that the rest of the band was like, we want to play for fun, because like, you know, the Danish guy, he made a contract even before for the song to be on the Metal Massacre, I think, even before he have a band. And then he gave it to Metallica, came to Metallica, "Hey guys, I have this," and that's it.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's the thing. I don't think, especially with regards to Lars, I think that he wanted to be famous.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think he would have, like, you know, he wasn't in the band for fun, that guy, especially. I don't know about the other guys. Maybe James was like a true, you know, a true artist that wanted to create beautiful works of art, maybe. But I mean, in the end, he became like one of like the biggest rock stars in the world, basically. So I mean, what do I know, you know? I mean, that's not the case for everyone I know, but I get the feeling that, you know, I think everyone wants to be famous in one way or another, you know.
Hey, come on, man, we want to be famous with have Metal Brain Fart, but the only guy who is famous is you.
Yeah, infamous is like the right word for it, I guess. but you know how it is, Daro, you know, everyone wants a big dick and a nice sports car, but you know, everyone can't have it. I mean, that's the harsh reality of life, I guess. You know, you want big things. I mean, everyone wants to be rich, right? I don't think there's anyone in the world that doesn't want to have, you know, money to survive, or more of it. I mean, I guess that's just a human drive in a way, so.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And,
wow, like this episode is fucking deep, man. We're doing like the real big questions in life, I feel like.
Yeah, man, but since we didn't have an episode, sometimes it's good to have loose but serious topic.
Don't get me wrong. I like this topic. It's just a little bit different what we'd usually do, because usually band shit or band awesome. But now we're talking about philosophy and shit. I love it. It's stimulating.
Yeah, because everyone once in a while you give it that you ask yourself if this is worth it. And most of the time, the answer is yes. Some of the times it's like, Why the hell are you doing that?
Yeah, I mean, there are times, obviously, when you're in doubt and you start to wonder, okay, what the fuck is the meaning? And I must be honest, I was a little bit disillusioned with this entire metal scene and whatever. Because I saw, like, I don't know, you know, playing in bands and meeting people, you know, I sort of, how should I put it? I kind of got tired of it, really. I started to see, like, the more shittier side of it all. And I was like, man, I kind of hate this. But, you know, I mean, that's basically, you know, the beginning of the show. I mean, I was sort of like, you know, metal was a thing I did, and now I do something else. But then you came along and you're like, yeah, we're going to do a podcast. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to try to get into this shit again. And I noticed that I never really got out, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
I never left.
It's a passion. It's not a fashion.
Yeah, exactly. And that was perfect. Passion, not a fashion. That is very true, because that's how I feel. Because when I went back to the stuff that I liked, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not saying that metal is the best genre, because I think it is the best genre. I think it is because I feel it, you know. Sort of a weird argument, I guess, but.
Well, a lot of time they said in different documentaries and whatever, because this type of music is like a music for the outcast. And also, this music understands you. So many times, man, for example, Escape, I never give a shit before I start to read the lyric. And after I read the lyric, I was like, hey man, that song is rotten for me. Or in that case, Twisted Sister with The Price.
Yeah.
Because even then, on The Price, they ask, is it worth it?
Well, there we go. Yeah, I mean, so what can one say? It's like, I mean, you should do what you like. I think it boils down to, and if you like the feeling that it's giving you, I mean, then it's worth it, I think. If you're doing something that it feels, I mean, not only feeling good, because, you know, feeling good is not necessarily a good feeling. What am I saying? Feeling good is not a good thing. Feeling good, that's good and all, but it has to, like, be a positive force for you. You know, and yeah. I think metal, I mean, definitely has been a positive force. I think, you know, when I feel down and shit, I mean, this is so standard, but, you know, when you feel down and shitty, I mean, listening to a good album, I mean, it could be other stuff than metal, of course, but, I mean, metal albums are always good picker-uppers, I guess, in a shitty situation. And I mean, the music has energy, it has fire, it has passion. And I think people need a little bit of fire in their life, because I think a lot of people today, at least, they feel a little bit, you know, with shit going on in the world, they feel powerless, they feel cast out, they feel depressed, you know, whatever. And I think the music can be a good, what should I say, like a steam valve. You can, you know, get us some aggressions and shit, and it'll make
release
you feel better.
Stress.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not only listening to the music, it's like meeting people that like the same shit that you're into, go to concerts, you know, the social thing is good, I think.
Yeah, and especially in some huge festival or gig, you see so many new faces, but also you see friends that you met the last time, for example, 3 years ago.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it's like, Hey man, what the fuck are you doing here? How's it going? Can you start to remember the good old times and whatever?
Yeah, exactly. And, share a couple of beers and talk about the old days. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, a lot of my friends are, like, metal-interested people, you know. A lot of my best friends are that, particularly. Even though they may not be metalheads, they like a couple of metal bands, and then we have, like, a common ground in many ways. So I would be lying if I said that, you know, metal has been a negative influence on me. I don't think so at all. Thanks to metal, I got interested in other kind of music, strangely enough. I mean,
yeah,
before metal, I didn't care about music. Music was just, you know, noise in the background that sounded nice, but I didn't really care about it. But, you know, whenever you got that first Maiden record, it all made sense, you know. Music, you know, made sense in a different way than it had before.
But even when we speak about the different interest that you get, it's not only about the music. You go and start with the literature, with geography, with the history, and whatever.
That's a very good point, because it was thanks to a lot of, like, you know, especially Iron Maiden that got me into, like, you know, the historical thing and, you know, literature, movies. So, I mean...
Yeah, because, for example, I have a friend or a guy who I know in Bulgaria, and he started to learn about the old Egypt history and whatever thanks to Niall.
Yeah, you see, I mean, and of course we have, like, Sabaton obviously has inspired a lot of people all over the world to get into, like, military history, which is cool. I mean,
Sodom.
Sodom, certainly. But yeah, I would say, yeah.
And also I can say Exdel, that is Maurizio from Cataclysm, other band. They have a couple of albums, I don't remember how much, about the ancient Rome.
Yeah, that's true as well. there's a lot of... When we talk about it like this, this is a very interesting line of discussion we're in on. You know, what you've gotten. I think when you start to... If you ask the question, is it worth it? Then I think the natural question to ask as a follow-up is, okay, so what have I learned from this? You know, if you have if you're doing something that you're asking, if you're wondering the value of, you have to start asking, I mean, okay, have I gotten something, you know, positive out of this? Have I learned something new? You know, is it doing something, you know what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, I know it, man. Well,
has this thing impacted my life in a positive way or not? That's really the question.
Yeah, definitely you learn a lot from a lot of bands, but there is bands that sounds good, but they're like totally party band that you cannot learn anything for that matter. Tankard, Steel Preacher, Steel Preacher, they are like party band with lyrics that can make you feel good, but you are not going to learn what's happened in the history of Antarctica.
No, exactly. And I mean, that's another thing too. I mean, life isn't all about, you know, learning and doing important stuff. It's also about, you know, doing things that are fun as well. And
exactly.
And I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit different to, it's to each his own what is fun, you know. I mean, for some people, maybe it isn't fun to go to a concert and do mosh pits and whatever. But for some, maybe it is, and maybe it's a good way to let some steam off. I don't know. I mean, as long as the thing you're doing are not, like, actively killing people, sort of like the Norwegian black metal scene back in the 90s, I mean, that I would say, you know, if you ask I mean, imagine being like a Norwegian guy within that black circle of crazy people. I mean, that's a time, if you ask yourself, okay, is it worth it? What do I do all day? Yeah. I hate death metalers. I burn churches. I worship Satan. Is it a positive lifestyle, you know?
And I spent 22 years in the jail, and now I'm living in the forest and driving Lada Niva.
Yeah. I mean, then you're going to stop for a while and ask yourself, I mean, is it worth it? I mean, I mean it's different for everyone, I guess.
And in that matter as well, for the death metal scene, for example, Pat O'Brien, man, with two flamethrowers and I don't know how much ammunition that he can basically kill one country. I mean, I understand to have one flamethrower, but nah, he's in Florida, there is hot. Otherwise, if you're, for example, in Sweden, you're gonna need just to melt snow, you know.
Yeah. I mean, in Pat O'Brien's case, I don't know what was up with that. But maybe he should have wondered, like, okay, is this death metal thing, this brutal, you know, brutal lyrics that we're doing? I mean, maybe it had an impact on him. I don't know.
And also, to be honest,
I mean, I think you have to be a crazy guy to be in a band like Cannibal Corpse. I mean, all of those guys seem to be like crazy in their own right. I'm not saying that they're like homicidal maniacs, but they are a little bit on the stranger side, I would say, those guys.
Dude, you're so wrong here. Because when you see it on the TV and whatever, it's look like that. But for example, go to Instagram page of Corpse Grinder. It's you're gonna see him at some toy store buying Legos and whatever bullshit.
Yeah, that's my point. That's fucking crazy.
Well,
that's some fucking...
No, it's not crazy, man. It's
Have you seen that video with him? There's a video, I think it's on YouTube or whatever, where he is like... He's like buying discount thing on Walmart. You know, he like saves coupons and whatever. You know, at Target and at Walmart. And he's like really deep into that shit. And he was basically... There was like basically a video of someone filming him like, you know, getting deals, you know.
What you thought I was doing this day? Yesterday, I ordered some food for a home delivery. Yeah. And most of the products that I bought it was like a dealership.
A what now?
A deals. Like you are buying three and paying one or something like this.
Oh, man. That's gonna get dangerous.
I don't say everything, but most of them was like this. Because, come on, we are living in crazy times.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that is true. I mean, some people, I guess in crazy times, some people buy discounted pizzas and others burn down their house and say that the Antichrist is coming.
I forget, I always forgot the name of this guy from Obituary, I think, was he called the cops because he was thinking someone got in, someone break his meth lab.
Someone broke into his meth lab?
Yeah.
What a glorious thing to report to a police officer. Sir, yeah. I need help. Someone broke into my meth lab. All my drugs are gone.
I just gonna see. By the way, did you saw the link that I sent you?
From what time?
About
when?
About the Matt Butcher.
No. I mean, you mean the figurine or?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. What about it?
That was the figurine that I bought it and. I start with the question, is it worth it?
Okay, it's 25 centimeters in height. It's a big fucking... It's like 1 kilo. What the fuck?
Yeah.
But the thing is, how does it look? That's the question.
Oh, don't ask, man.
I mean, is it as bad as that Doro figurine? Do you remember when we last met? For those of you in the audience who don't know, I mean, there's I don't know what it was. I think it was like Doro's first solo album. I think there was a re-release of it, and they released like a statue based on the cover. And my God, the face on Doro, man. I mean, if she wasn't pissed about that, then I don't know what would piss her off, honestly. But the picture of this statue, by the way, I mean, it looks good on the picture, but I'm guessing that you're going to have like a meme thing going here, like when you order destruction figurines from Wish or whatever.
Pretty much, man. It's not the perfect quality like the Bad Butcher that you see on the covers, but hey, again, it's like... it's some good stuff. I mean, I don't know how to explain.
It's sort of like this whole episode has been like a Twilight Zone episode. It's like the introductions. Imagine, if you will, a statue so ugly that a metalhead starts asking himself, is it worth it?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was Alan West, this guy... that was arrested for producing methamphetamine.
And he was the guy from Obituary.
Yeah.
May I ask, which state of the glorious United States was he from?
Can you guess?
From New Jersey?
Nah, come on, man.
Yeah, but I'm asking you.
Death metal.
Yeah, well... Yeah, he's from Florida, all right?
Yeah.
Are you surprised? And Pat O'Brien? Florida.
I think he was from Buffalo, Pat O'Brien.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I'm going to check because originally... But Pat O'Brien is not...
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, everyone. Okay, sorry. Cannibal Corpse was originally from Buffalo, New York, and not from Tampa, Florida. But they moved down for some time, I think. Or whatever.
Yeah, But the thing is, Pat O'Brien is not from the original members, so probably it's from Florida.
He could be. I can find this out. Or are you searching it up? Or I can do it.
I'm also searching.
Because he was fired out of the band after that incident, right? Or
yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm not going to be like that, but I would probably fire... an arsonist that talks about the Antichrist and whatever. I wouldn't want to have him in the band.
No, actually, he's from Kentucky.
From what?
Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, but, you know, the thing about the flamethrowers and the Antichrist and burning the house down, you know, it sort of sounds like a Florida thing to do. But I guess the Florida thing to do in the metal community is running up to a police officer and say that your meth lab has been fucking robbed.
Yeah.
That's actually the first time I hear about it. That's fucking amazing.
I read about that a couple of years ago when actually it happened. But I totally forget. And when Heavy Metal Hangover said, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that.
Man, I've, like I said, it's the first time I hear about it. But then again, I don't really check out too much news on the metal front. I mean, the only news that I get from, or the only news that I care about in the metal community is whenever a band I like puts out a new record, or if I find a new record that's been released that I like from a band I don't know. I don't really pay too much attention about
Dude,
meth labs.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, well,
Is it worth it to go in the metal news nowadays?
It depends if you like drama. I don't, really.
Because honestly, when you are clicking on metal news, it's basically to clicking on political news.
Yeah, that's basically where like the controversies come from nowadays. And that's why, it's not really... But I don't know, you know, we made an entire episode about metal controversies, and that was like one of the more fun episodes to do. So I don't know, I'm a hypocrite, I guess. I don't like drama, but I like talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the case for everyone, I guess. I mean, it's way more interesting to listen to, you know, a controversy between two people than to be the part of a controversy, if you know what I'm saying.
It's normal, man.
Yeah, that's...
It's normal. Well, I think we are pretty good in time, to be honest.
Yeah, we've been going for a while, and decided
One more question, man.
Yeah.
Is it worth it, the podcast?
It is, but
yes,
but a huge but here.
Since that's the news. That's the news that we was told you. We gonna say a news at the end of the podcast, and Bru is gonna say something now.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing to all our listeners. As things are right now, I mean, the podcast is a fun thing to do, and we are doing this on our free time, and we're doing it for free. As well, we don't have a paywall, and we're not doing all of the other stuff that bigger podcasts do. But the thing is, doing the show weekly has been proven to be a little bit hard to do, because you know, I mean, we would love to do the show weekly, no problem. But the thing is, as things are now, I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but we sort of like need a little bit more, what should I say,
ka-ching. More time.
I would say, I mean, I could do it weekly if we were paid to do this, because if we do it weekly, it becomes more of a job thing. I may sound a bit like an asshole, I get that, but my point is that since we're doing it for free and we don't really, you know, I mean, we're not making money off this, so, I mean, we don't really see the reason to keep it on a weekly basis. So the thing we're going to do now is we're going to do the show every other week, and when one of us feel like it, we will release bonus episodes
on the dark week.
Yeah, during the dark weeks, definitely. I mean, it may not be on the Mondays or Sundays of those weeks, but we will be released there. But we will keep our regular stuff on every other week. So beginning, well, starting from now, basically, the next show will be out in 2 weeks, pretty much.
I think we started from the last time, man, because last time the show was 2 weeks ago. I released the last week, and the last week I released just the interview. That was...
Yeah, maybe. We're going to have to sort that out. But, The context of the, you know, the summary of the my point is that we're going to go by a bi-weekly schedule from now on here.
Yeah, because first of all, I don't know for you, man, but I'm quite busy at the moment with my work being a DJ and also doing my radio show as well. And sometimes you cannot focus on this show, because how many times it's like, do you have idea what we're going to speak about? What we're going to do? I don't know, we're going to just speak bullshit.
Yeah, we always take it like 24 hours or less before to make our show prep. So I think for the structure and the quality of the show, at least, I think it's way better to have 2 weeks in between, so you can really, you know, I mean, get a subject, and for that point, you know, get your talking points together and whatever. So
yeah, to make a week for research in your case, for example.
Yeah, and I mean, whatever. I mean, just finding out a good subject can take a long time. Because yeah, I've noticed doing this on a weekly basis is like whenever the new week, you know, like I said, it's always like the day before we find the topic. So yeah. I think it's good to have like a little bit of a room to think about things.
And also for some good topics, for example, you mentioned the controversial episode. You asked me like 2 or 3 days before the recording then. And we did a quite okay job, but imagine if you have like a week to search all that bullshit, man. We can do like a 2-part episode.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's basically all I had to say. But I will assure you guys out in the audience, I mean, the quality will improve over this, definitely. Like, may not be a show too often, but you know, every other week you'll get a way better show than the weekly basis that we've been doing. So,
and like we said, we tried as well to improve ourselves. I'm not crying for money. Give us some money and we're there. But I need also to work to buy some new equipments and whatever. And if you guys want to help us, you're more than welcome to become a Patreon. There is going to be a link at the info topic. So we're going to appreciate it, man. Definitely we're going to appreciate it. Probably we're going to start to think about t-shirts. But the real help that we're gonna get, a real help from you, is not so much like became a Patreon and whatever. Just tell your friends about us. Just say, share our topic to someone and like speak about us, man.
Yeah, tell your friends. And also, you know, we're still open on the pointers, criticism. We're open for that. So if you have any, you know, points of contentions, or if you have an idea of how we should structure things, or what equipment we should get or whatever, I mean, just give us a message on Facebook. That's the easiest way to reach us. We have an email address as well. I guess we can maybe put it in the liner notes if people want. I don't know, but
I
yeah,
think, we have it.
Yeah, we have. I don't know if I've ever put it in the liner notes though, but we definitely have an email address. So
So that's it, man. Like I said, like us, subscribe us, share our post, say to your friends about us. The easy way is like facebook.com/ metal brain fart podcast. It's gonna pop up. There you have a link tree to all our connection, media, and whatever. So, till next time, that can be after next week with a single episode, or probably our regular show in about 2 weeks.
Damn right.
So, till next time. Stay tuned or be doomed.